I'm very pleased to present to you our next speaker, Kevin Van Kampen. He's a Racine County Family Court Commissioner since 1980, so he's not a newcomer to his profession. He's trained as an attorney, and he's distinguished himself in his career, as evidenced by the number of local and state committees that he's been asked to serve on. For example, he's served on two Legislative Council study committees. Most recently, the Legislative Council Special Committee on Custody Arrangement, and he also was a public member of the Joint Legislative Council Special Committee on Child Custody Support and Visitation. He's presently serving as a member of the Policy Advisory Committee of the State Department of Health and Social Services. So I think he brings a real special perspective to our seminar today. He's going to be discussing how child support actually works, and specifically what we've asked him to address is how current child support standards are applied in family court. And I know he has a very busy schedule, and we appreciate him coming. I know he's got to be back in court this afternoon, right?
Sure.
So thanks a lot for coming. Let's give him a hand as he comes forward.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be here this morning. First thing I thought I'd talk a little bit about is family court commissioners and what we do and why we're different from circuit court judges. Family court commissioner is appointed by the judges in each county to conduct hearings primarily in family court matters. And we do most of the work in child support in the state, both in the context of divorce actions and in paternity cases. And we do a lot of post-judgment hearings to enforce and modify child support. Commissioners do the overwhelming majority of determination of child support, and commissioners' work and hearings are reviewable by a circuit court judge who's assigned to the case. The duties of commissioners have expanded a great deal over the last 15 years, primarily to the influx of child support cases brought by child support agencies to enforce and establish child support obligations. Based upon that influx and also based upon federal mandates and Wisconsin's response to that mandate, we have applied, used the percentage of income standard in setting child support. Commissioners, in my opinion, I can only speak for Racine County, but overall I believe commissioners are satisfied and pleased with the child support standard as a device that's used to establish child support in the state. Commissioners do not have a lot of time to conduct hearings. Commissioners are not courts of record where sworn testimony is taken. Therefore, we have to make our decisions in a very short period of time, and this standard is a great deal of help to us. What's important to remember when we talk about the percentage of income standard is that Wisconsin legislature has made a determination that the percentage of income standard is the presumed method of establishing and modifying child support in Wisconsin. And the presumption is a strong presumption, and the presumption should not be overturned merely because of the fact that parties want it to be overturned or someone feels that it's not good law. The law is written very tightly. When it was written in the mid-80s, it was written tightly for purposes of requiring courts to follow the standard, but also if the court makes a change or deviation in the standard, certain findings need to be made. One of the first things I'd like to point out today, I brought this with me, and I think you may or may not have it, but this document here is distributed by law to every person in a family court case who is a respondent, and basically it states what the law is on child support. This was a legislative requirement that this be done, and it was a good method of explaining to parties what the law is, that the law needs to be applied, what the factors are, what the percentage is, and what the deviation factors are. I'd like to emphasize today that with the presumption, the court is required to follow the law, and the court cannot deviate from the percentage of income standard except by following a criteria set up by the statute that's straightforward and strict. First, the court has to initially, under current law, receive a request from someone to modify the standard. If no one requests it, the court cannot modify the amount. It says upon request of either party. The first thing, if there is a request made, is that the court needs to find by the credible evidence that the use of the percentage standard is unfair to the child or one of the parties. That's the first finding. The court has to make that finding in writing and or on the record. The court then has to go through a three-step process: what the child support would be under the standard, why the court wants to deviate from the standard, the reasons for the standard, the reason for the amount of the change, and also the basis for the modification. The court also is required to consider the factors that are listed in the material in front of you, and the key finding on that is unfair to the child or one of the parties. And in my opinion, the factors are balancing factors, and that is you could find one or two factors that's unfair to the child, but that could be offset by a factor that's unfair to the parties. I don't believe the factors are written all in one side. The general policy has been, particularly in the county where I work, in Racine County, to apply the percentage standard in every case, or nearly every case. That's been our practice in Racine. We believe and do apply it to the overwhelming majority of cases: low-income cases, medium-income cases, high-income cases. Circuit court judges, whom I report to, feel also that the percentage standard is to be applied and applied to all cases. The key fact for the child support standard being its creation and the presumption of that standard is to not permit negotiation of child support as it relates to other issues in the case. And that's the key fact. That's why Wisconsin law says that the court may not approve a stipulation that doesn't provide for child support determined by the percentage of income standard. The negotiations that occur in an action affecting the family as it relates to the support of the child should not relate, except as permitted by the statute, to other factors in the divorce, including allocation of debt and other issues concerning what parties want to or don't want to do in a divorce. Most divorces are settled by negotiation, and the percentage standard takes away the child support amount as a negotiated amount in every case. It sets a standard that the court should apply, and then the parties in the courts can then focus their resources on those issues that can be negotiated. When the law was first passed, it only applied to the initial determination of child support. And so there was a gap for a period of time in which parties who were divorced or whose fraternity was established would have a percentage order, and old cases didn't. Legislature cured that, and now the standard applies to all cases. It's also been expanded to foster care payments, substitute care payments, and also to any order that could be entered as a result of criminal case. The issue of modification is a key issue on percentage standard because of the fact that there's a number of cases that were issued in the early 80s and the mid-80s that never were looked at, and now through various processes, including a modification project engineered by the Department of Health and Social Services, there's modification where cases are looked at, the determinations are made whether or not the child support is adequate, and cases are modified. That's an ongoing project in a number of counties in the state, if not statewide. It has resulted in increased orders for child support. One of the key facts that's coming through that we probably won't be discussing a lot today, but it is important, is how child support is expressed. Because at the same time the child support percentage of income standard was created, the legislature also permitted child support for the first time to be expressed as a percentage. And expressed as a percentage means the child support order can actually read 100% of your gross income. And so the courts are given a choice. You can either express it as a fixed amount or as a percentage. And recently, they permitted a combination order, which says the child support can be a fixed amount or a percentage, with a qualifier, whichever is greater, whichever is less. In Racine, we use primarily percentage expressed orders with minimums because of the fact that we believe it will transfer the amount of child support that required under the standard over a period of time with the minimum amount of court activity. And so it's not unusual for an order in Racine for two children on gross income of $400 for the child support to read $100 a week or 25%, whichever is greater. And that order then could continue for an indefinite number of years. It captures overtime, it captures increases, and it captures job changes. It's a method of doing it without a lot of court litigation. There are other problems caused by orders like that that the fiscal people will tell you about concerning percentage expressed orders. One of the things that Margo talked a little bit about is the courts, appellate court's treatment of the percentage standard. When the percentage standard was first looked at by the appellate court, Wisconsin Supreme Court, they made a strong statement in the Abbott's case that said, this is the way you set child support in Wisconsin, and that's it. And that's the last word of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Since then, there's been Court of Appeals cases, what I call appellate drift, where they've attempted through various devices to dilute the standard and say the standard is discretionary or you don't have to order the child support by anything other than you can say, well, the father will provide for the needs of the child. And so as a result, the cases that Margo talked about that are before the Supreme Court last week are cases which will now give the court an opportunity to make a statement about the percentage of income standard in Wisconsin. When should it be adhered to? When should it be deviated from? One of the things that we had to do concerning child support is deal with two issues, and they were dealt with recently by revision of the rule, DHS S80 rule, and that's for shared time in serial fathers. Shared time is when parents have substantially equal periods of placement of the child. How should the child support be set? The new rule affords a discount so that a person doesn't have to pay the full 17% if that person has the child 35% of the time, 40% of the time. And at 40% of the time, both parents' income are looked at, and the court then determines what the fair child support should be. Also, in the serial family, and that's where a person has more than one child to support, you have to discount the child support amount. So for the first child, you pay 17%. The second child, if it's a second child from a second mother, then the next amount is a 14%, and it goes down accordingly. One of the problems we've had, especially in paternity cases, is the fact that fathers may have 3, 4, 5 children, and what should we set the child support at in terms of that? It can't exceed 50% of a person's gross income. Is that fair or not? The Legislative Council worked on the issues of child support over the last 2 years. There was lots of discussion about what the standard should be or shouldn't be. Is the standard fair and what have you? I believe that the report and the legislation reflects that the standard is a good law in Wisconsin and should be applied. I think it's good for judges. I think it's good for commissioners, good for children. My final point on the percentage standard is that most people who come through the process of family court know what's going to happen because the standard exists. Most people are prepared to pay the amount. Most people are willing to pay the amount. And most people want to provide for the support of their children and be treated fairly. This gives an opportunity to courts to say you're being treated no better, no worse than anybody else in the court system. It's fair to the parties. If they feel they're being treated fairly, then they'll respond accordingly and deal with it. Exceptional cases probably will need to be dealt with in the future. One of the other things I'd like to talk about is a little bit about judicial rotation, and that judges currently are required to go into many courts at many different times of their tenure, and the standard I think has helped the courts be fair in child support, in the difficult area of child support and family law. And I think that this has been a great tool for circuit court judges and commissioners throughout the state of Wisconsin. Thank you.
Sure. Do you have a couple questions for Kevin? The question was, in the serial situation, why is it 17% for the first child, 14% for the second, and so on? Why isn't it an equal amount, like 14% for every child? Kevin.
That argument's been made, and effectively made, because of the fact that, is it fair to give one child more or less than the other parent's income? The problem you have is the chronological event. Wisconsin law is currently, and policy is, first child is first. That's currently the law. And therefore, that child's determination of child support has been done already. And so when another child is born, that child was born at the time that the parent of that child had another child already. And therefore, that was the existence that child was born to, and that's a policy concept beyond it. First child is first, second child is second, what have you. The second part of that process is the fact you don't have all the cases in front of you at once. All these, you can't adjust. If a person has one child and then comes into court and says, well, I had another child and I want to get my first child support reduced because I had another child, one, it's not good public policy, and two, that first child is going to say, well, what'd I ever do? You know what I mean? I didn't do anything other than I was born. You know, and so therefore, that policy has been made. What we're finding out now is the fact that as children get older, we are now coming back into the court system and changing those 14% orders to 17% once the obligation for the oldest child is ended. You see, that's the second part of that, is that you revise child support by doing that. But that issue as to equal protection and equal application is good. Question, because it's been brought out, and I think it was basically a policy decision, first child first, that went with that. It's not been challenged constitutionally yet, but perhaps could be.
The question is that since the revision of the shared time standards, so if you share time, the percentage might be adjusted, you've noticed fiercer battles.
And more
battles over this issue. Have you noticed that as well, Kevin?
Our experience is the same. We're not sure if it's driven by child support or parents who want substantially equal placement. We're just not sure what that driving force is. Because we've had a greater force for parents who want substantially equal placement. But clearly, with the new rules, there are new opportunities for dispute, because you can have an opportunity at 30%, 40%, and what have you. And because decisions had to be made in drafting those rules, there's no doubt that overnight counting occurs more and more, and people bring their calendars to court and say, well, I had this child 179 overnights and what have you. I think it's important to know on the rule is that the rule still is a permissive rule. It says the court may follow these things, and I think the permissiveness is good because it gives courts assistance, but the courts are not required to follow that rule, but they are required to follow the standard. But clearly, I think the issue of shared placement is going to be an issue that we will have to continue to deal with.